The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, produced by the Recording Library of West Texas. Every physical and mental disorder should definitely be taken seriously, but we're also under the impression that laughter is always the best medicine. So we invite you to kick back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby.
Oh, yeah!
No, we cannot play some Adele.
Oh, come on!
Quit hating on Adele!
Never mind, I'll find somebody else to do the show. I hate Adele.
No takes. No taste whatsoever, sir.
You like school.
Rolling in the deep.
You're like.
That's right.
You're like school in June. No class.
That's messed up.
You were talking about Sarah today. We were having a little discussion before the show. Welcome to Eyes on Psych, by the way.
By the way, yeah.
So Lewis and Sarah were chit-chatting before the show, and I was like, you know what? Let's get this on record before they get too deep into the conversation. So Lewis was talking to your business manager.
Yes.
And your mother.
Yes, two different times.
Ooh.
Yes, apparently my ears were burning.
Right. And both of the times they were complaining about, why don't I do the recording on Tuesdays anymore? That's when we play it, but I don't do it on Tuesdays anymore.
Exactly.
And yeah. I explained to them, quite frankly, that the best part of the show is in school during Tuesdays.
I will stab you, Lewis.
Besides you, Chris.
But Chris.
She comes up with awesome things to comment on, awesome things to review and to discuss.
Aww.
And if it wasn't for her, you and I would, you know, we would just be laughing the whole time.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. You kill the laughter.
No, you shouldn't. Sorry. She doesn't do that.
She gives the show a direction is what she does.
I tried. Y'all are very hard to rein in, but, you know, I think the balance is good. And actually, today's topic, I have to give credit to Mr. Chris, because I was fresh out of ideas this week, and I texted him and said, what are we going to do this week? And he gave me a couple ideas. So, ta-da, the topic for this week is self-esteem and the value of valuing oneself.
What?
Yeah. Boom. Very important topic. So, thank you, Chris.
Speaking of valuing oneself, Lewis here has valued me and Sarah today with a Mellow Mood relaxation drink. I don't know how...
Yeah.
Well, it's going to work, but it has a picture of Bob Marley on the front, so I'm betting it's potent.
Yeah, it can't be bad for you.
It's made out of Bartlett pears and black tea, and it's really good.
Why you got to bring race into this?
Me.
Why can't it just be tea?
Well, white tea is pretty good, too.
Wait, they make a white tea?
Yeah,
there's red tea, there's white tea,
there's black tea, there's brown tea.
There is lots of colors.
Is there a blue tea?
There probably is. It's probably made out of, like, acai and blueberry.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense.
If that's the truth, then we need to have a red, white, and blue tea drink all mixed together and call it America.
America. With a capital M.
I think one of our shows will talk about herbal remedies and medications.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And teas. Oh, I'm a tea fanatic. At my office, we have, like, 120 different types of teas.
Yes, but how is your crumpet game?
I need to stay away from the crumpets.
The crumpets do us no good.
Y'all remember Sarah?
Wait, mm-hmm. Sarah?
Huh?
This Sarah?
No, serotonin.
Oh!
The old English lady drinking tea and eating crumpets.
There we go.
You got me. You hook, line, and sinker, you reeled me in.
Yeah, I was totally lost there for a second.
Like, who's this Miss Tonin you speak of?
Well, Sarah is basically like our serotonin for this show. She's our homeostasis for this show.
I'm blushing. That's so sweet.
Why do you got to bring sexuality into this?
Oh, there's no sexuality.
Really, you brought up homeostasis.
Homeostasis.
Go get an education, Chris.
Oh, my poor boy.
You need help.
My stasis has never even looked at another man.
Seriously. The show is basically just to educate Chris. It's not for you guys. That's all this is for.
That's pretty much what it is.
He needs help.
Oh, okay. So moving on to the subject, now that we've wasted everybody's time.
Bring it back.
Hey, that tea's kicking in.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, no.
Hope everybody at home is having a really great day.
Chris's self-esteem just shot through the roof thanks to this tea. So
does wonders. Again, it's called Mellow Mood Relaxation Drink. You should try it, fellas.
Yes, it is decaffeinated and naturally flavored.
So. No, we don't sell it, and no, we're not marketing for them, but it is.
No, I'll sell it to you. I'll be out on a street corner like, hey, man, you want to get some of that tea?
Hook it up. Okay, so self-esteem. Obviously, a healthy self-esteem. It's a very underestimated part of the psyche, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And your esteem is important because it has an impact on every part of your life, your choices, your daily routine, the image you have of yourself.
And how successful you are, actually.
Most definitely. And so it's a great source for your mental health.
Now, Lewis, how deep does it actually run? How much can your self-esteem actually affect everything else that you do, coming from a professional standpoint?
Self-esteem is very important. You remember a long time ago when we talked about the vagus nerve?
The vagus nerve?
Huh? Remind us.
Okay. The vagus nerve is a nerve that's in your system that represents the parasympathetic pathways.
Yes, I do remember this now.
This is coming back, yes.
The spine is the sympathetic pathways, which is where fight, flight, anger, and all that. Mm-hmm. So the vagus nerve is the pathway for the positive things like the endorphins and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the vagus nerve, imagine the vagus nerve is your self-esteem.
Okay.
All right.
In a way, if it grows big and you have a high self-esteem, but you're not arrogant and you're not downplaying and,
healthy
and
self-esteem.
Wrong.
Ladies, I just want to let you know I have a huge vagus nerve.
Oh, God.
That's probably the only thing.
Whoa.
That was below belt.
Oh, snap. If we were playing hopscotch, sir, you would have done jumped over the line.
Wrong.
Okay, but please. To answer your question, self-esteem, it's very important. I mean, everyone needs self-esteem. That's our motivation.
Absolutely.
That's our moving forward. That's our life force. That's our energy. That's our chi.
Have you seen that show, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes, I love it.
Do you remember the experiment they did with the water molecules based on what you tell it?
You told me about this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. They had a glass of water, basically, and they were looking at the molecules through a microscope. And they had a Buddhist monk bless the water, and it became very crystal clear, very pretty. The molecules were very pretty. And then they took the same water and had somebody said, I hate you and I hope you die, and took a picture at that exact moment, and it was cloudy and looked very gross. Like the water, it actually affected the water on a molecular level. They're saying that negativity actually has an effect on water. The biggest and most interesting thing about that is the fact that the human body is made up of mostly water.
Yeah, like 60%.
Yeah. No, 72%, I believe.
That's right.
I think it's more than that.
Really?
You know what? We're going to Google it.
Let's Google
I don't have my phone.
While we're doing that, let's do the conversation.
Yeah,
let's keep going. But
yeah,
Google
keep
it.
Go. Yeah, keep it going.
Okay. I'll keep it going if somebody will Google it.
If it's that much a part of your physical body, obviously,
well,
it's
yeah.
important.
Yeah. Basically, things that you say to other people, you know the old term, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
That's a lie.
Actually, yeah, it's extremely a lie. And the things that you say and think to yourself about yourself.
Oh, most definitely.
Who said 60%?
Me.
Okay, by weight, the average human adult male is approximately 60% of water.
What?
But that might be for you. Like a big boy like me, it might be like 80%.
It might be adjusted per person.
He's just a water balloon.
Right. That's what I'm telling myself.
He got a lot of life force to give, ladies.
I have to give credit to my sister. She's going through nutrition class right now, so.
Wow.
That is why I know that.
I'm
going to
shut up.
See? Go get an education.
Really?
I know.
I think both of us paid for a full... I mean, I paid my whole year membership.
I got my education on a street corner, just like I'm going to be getting this drink. Like, hey, man, you want some education?
I'm talking about the gym.
Oh, the gym.
Have you been going to it? I have not.
I've been moving, I trust. I've lost weight since I've been moving, too, actually.
I put up Christmas lights.
Oh, nice.
Already, I know it's way early, but my mom's having some health issues.
You know what?
That's important.
What she wanted. If it was my choice, my whole house would be decorated in Halloween.
We are. And I think the reason I like Halloween is it's like the last kind of like carefree holiday you get to celebrate before the stress of the holidays, yeah. You know, the holiday season, because then you got to worry about family coming over. You got to worry about gifts. You got to worry about Thanksgiving.
All the
worry,
drama.
Yeah. And
all the food that you're going to gain pounds from.
Yeah. Halloween's probably one of the only major holidays, really widely celebrated holidays, that isn't associated with all of that stress. Halloween's really kind of a...
It's a chance to be yourself.
Yeah. And
be a kid again.
Or somebody else if you'd like to be.
Someone completely different, wearing masks, going out. It's a chance to dress up.
I've always loved
fun.
It. I've always
Isn't
loved
fun?
It. You know, Lewis, and I hate to say this because of the profession you're in, but you kind of, the way you speak, the enunciation in your voice, and your crazy, like, almost like predatory eyes.
Damn! That's crossing the line a little bit.
But you know what you've always reminded me of is Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Do you know how many people think that I'm...
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
Well, the way he speaks.
I don't see it.
Fly, fly away, Clarice. Fly, fly away.
Clarice.
No, the way that you calmly talk. Like, oh, yes, tell me more.
A little bit of brains and Chianti.
I ate her liver with a nice Chianti and some fava beans.
Oh, my God.
Fly, fly away, little starling. Fly, fly away. I love that movie. I love it. You're not just one generation shy of white trash with your cheap shoes.
Seriously, you are in the right business, Chris. You're like, Halloween Voices. Oh, my God. He did a promo this week, guys.
Yes.
Frightening how good it is.
Oh, yeah. I love doing voices. They're like my favorite. Like,
I was listening.
This is Count Dracula taking over your radio station.
I was listening to one of your shows this week and was talking about peeing in the shower, and you're like, "That's perfectly natural." And you're like, "Well, maybe not peeing in the shower when it's your wife's in the shower."
Oh my God.
Why do you always tune in when I'm saying the worst possible things?
Good timing. Good timing.
I'm a DJ on another station, and yes, there's a story about 72% of people actually admit to peeing in the shower, and I went and was like, "Do you see that?" This goes out to my girlfriend. It's normal. Stop being so uptight about it. The fact that I'm standing outside the shower peeing in it while you're in it should be irrelevant.
That's what it said.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah. That
Your
was...
girlfriend is awesome. Just going to say that.
She's a patient woman.
She is. She's
indeed. She probably has a high self-esteem.
Yes.
She does.
Indeed. Thank you for... That was such a perfect segue right there.
Yeah. Lewis.
Kudos.
I'm clapping for him right now. That was the best segue since Mall Cops.
I'm pretty good at that.
What Chris was talking about earlier about our image of ourselves, I mean, like, at the age of 2 or 3, you see kids staring in the mirror trying to figure out who's that person staring at me. Hmm. And so, you know, self-image is something we confront at a very early age. While doing my research, I found that when you believe good of yourself, when you believe you're worthy of happiness, you're worthy of what you desire, you're worthy of getting those things, that you feel worthy of respect. Mm-hmm. And that's an important part of self-esteem. So thinking less of yourself, even if it's just small, little, tiny comments about yourself, it's sometimes viewed as an honorable attribute. Have you ever noticed that?
You're
how
absolutely
people
right.
Cut themselves down and people think good of them for doing that.
Well, yeah, I think... I don't think
that's right.
Well, when somebody is quick to make fun of themselves in a social situation, or, you know, people seem to like that.
When they have humor in it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I think that when somebody builds themselves up a little bit, it's seen as cocky, even if it is or it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult to... talk well of yourself without sounding arrogant, even mm-hmm. if you're not being arrogant.
I try to
difficult.
Tell you people how great I am every single day, and y'all don't even get it.
We get it. We love you.
We get it. We get it.
Love me.
So, I think he says that every episode.
I think he does.
You might be right.
So to get, we love you, Chris.
We really do.
I love you guys, too.
To answer your question, though, I think... humbleness is the honorable attribute.
Right.
You can be completely sure of yourself and think highly of yourself, but not verbalize it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. As long as your actions are still being humble,
right,
then it's good for you.
Right. I, yeah.
If you're not humble, that's when it's that negative energy that we talk about. And yes,
right,
that will be very, very bad for you.
Exactly. And sometimes I see people, you'll give them a compliment, and they'll immediately toss it away, like, oh, no, I'm not really good at that. Or no, I'm not really, mm-hmm. let me tell you something else about myself and how bad I am. Like, they just toss it aside instead of saying thank you with a compliment.
Yeah, but do you really like those type of people?
They're hard to like. They're hard to be around. They're hard to listen to because they don't.
Stop looking at me, Lewis.
They don't care for themselves.
A humble person would take the compliment and say thank you.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. If it makes you nervous when someone gives you a compliment, thank you is the quickest way to make the situation dissipate.
Right. Actually, you know, that really hits home for me. It really is hard for me to accept sincere compliments. You know, I mean, joking around and everything, but someone compliments me sincerely, it's kind of like, yeah, stop being that way. Let's change the subject now.
Right. You just can't take the attention.
It's hard because my dad was very big on not making a big deal out of yourself. As a matter of fact, it was very hard growing up with him because he's like, stop trying to be the center of attention, Chris. It's like, I'm putting on a show.
That's my job.
That's what I'm here for, Dad. That's what I'm here for.
If he would have only known.
Now he gets it.
That would be a job.
He gets it now. But and he's very proud of me. He is. But he was very worried about me growing up. Now,
I think I was worried about you. A little bit.
Well, I was actually just about to ask you and turn that around and ask your about your parents, Lewis. Were they at all concerned about you for a trait that actually became a part of your career?
Yes. Okay, so let me give you a few examples. When I was young, my parents thought that I would become a priest.
What?
Or something.
I never once thought that about you.
You didn't know me when I was young. You knew me in my teenage years. But when I was young, I was extremely loving and caring and bright-eyed, and the world was perfect and very sweet. And then I grew up.
He was high on life, but then he built up a tolerance.
So they were worried that that would be a negative attribute.
Really?
Because I would have been easily taken advantage of and all that.
Too vulnerable.
And at that time, I probably was a lot easier to take advantage of because I believed in everybody.
You were an eternal optimist,
right.
Basically.
Believed in everybody and everything, and that life was great and we could fix it. And it is true, but you still have to be cautious now. And that's what you learn with age.
Yeah.
But in my teenage years, I wasn't cautious. I was highly manipulative and highly...
He was.
To be honest, yes. I cared about everybody, and I'd manipulate them a mixture of my own wants and their wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never to try to be against them or anything.
You weren't trying to do evil by any means.
He was never an evil person, but yeah, he was very manipulative, and he was very good at it.
Yeah, and that could have harmed some people, I'm sure. Yeah. It did. So.
But no, I mean, everybody still loves you. That's the thing is, you could get people to do exactly what you wanted them to do, but you never did it in a way that would harm them either. So it was kind of a...
It was never ill-willed.
Yeah. Now, that actually makes me think of our little Sarah here, who is very bright-eyed and walking on sunshine constantly. Do people tend to try to take advantage of you, Sarah, because of how nice you are?
Well, I'd like to say I know the answer to that, but I honestly don't, because I have literally zero observation skills. I am a one true... I don't appreciate that snicker, Chris.
You told me not to bring it up from earlier today, so I'm shut up.
He was literally sitting there biting his lip.
Yeah, I can see it. It's like bleeding now.
I actually did.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, not going to say it.
I'm not an observant person. I don't think... Politically, I didn't go to high school. I was homeschooled. So I don't think in the high school terms of life and how
people... You never had that hierarchy.
No, I did not get that. And I don't... I honestly, at times in my life, I'm just staring at someone being an evil person, what I would describe as an evil person, and be like, I don't get it. I don't get your motivation. I don't understand why anyone would want to do that to anybody else. And I guess I'm naive in that way. And so if someone tries to take advantage of me, someone else has to bring it up most of the time. So
there's
I don't
no
know.
Such that's thing as black and white, though. There isn't.
That's actually interesting, Lewis. From a psychological standpoint, not having to deal with the hierarchy of being in school where you have the different classes of people that you have to deal with, the nerds, the jocks, and all that, and you never have to battle for attention or to feel wanted, what kind of person would that lead you to be from a psychological standpoint? I would imagine it would help you be more confident in yourself.
No, not usually. But this is why. It's because you don't go through that. That's a normal developmental stage in the social hierarchies and society. And honestly, when we become adults, it's not too different.
No, it is not.
From high school.
No, it isn't.
It's just we are more quiet.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it's
so,
just
more
passive-aggressive
about it.
A little less labeled. There's no,
Everyone
three letters
wants
above
to
it
pretend
kind of
that they're grown up and past it, but
oh yes, they do.
They still live those structures. So I would think that it would actually be a deficit, slightly for understanding socials, but it would definitely make a nicer person as long as they didn't get
sucked into it
or became the target of, you know, one of the sociopaths or something.
Most of the time, I see it as a benefit as to not having lived through it because I didn't get. I can see myself, because I'm a major social butterfly, I could see myself majorly getting caught up in the hierarchy and trying to work it to my advantage and becoming extremely manipulative. I could see myself doing that.
Yeah, but that's not you.
Oh, I don't see you as that.
You don't know me very well. You don't know me very well.
You see this? There's a double edge to everybody.
There really is. And it's I'm a very big people pleaser, so it's self-serving, but it looks like I'm a nice person. It looks like I am being kind and considerate, and I'm just adjusting to whoever's in front of me kind of deal.
You know, that makes sense.
So, yeah, that's natural.
If you see her around here, she's constantly doing things for everybody. She's very good at what she does, and we're going to...
So you're a chameleon.
A little bit.
Chameleon.
That is a good quality.
It is.
It adjusts well. The only biggest problem I have... speaking of self-esteem, is most of the time when I am around no one...
You don't know what to do.
Exactly. I have a big problem, a big issue with that particular part of self-confidence and self-esteem, because especially when I receive constructive criticism, I cannot stand it. I have such issues with pride, and I can't stand
that. Well, it's because you take it as somebody not being pleased with you.
Exactly.
And... now, what if potentially she were to get into a situation with somebody else? You have a boss, and she has somebody else who is also a people pleaser. Then the hierarchy would definitely kick in. And if they were trying to please the boss as much as she was, I can see how that might cause an issue for you, Sarah.
I'm a very competitive person, so yes. Yes, it would. Yes, it would be a big issue.
Okay, so let's also be honest about something, though. I think that we're looking at that as being an aspect of you not being raised in that social environment, right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, so your chameleon characteristics are because you weren't raised in the social hierarchy, is what we were kind of saying.
I think they would have been developed even higher had I been in that hierarchy.
Maybe, but I think that we're reading you wrong. I think your chameleon characteristics is because you're an empath.
An empath, explain that to me.
An empath is someone who feels for other people, who feels
empathetic.
Their energy and their emotions.
I like to think that.
So they adapt to it. So a lot of empaths that are chameleons are good. It's the chameleons that are not empaths that are not good. Those are the sociopaths.
Yeah.
So an empath is basically the negative of a sociopath.
Right.
It's the opposite.
Okay.
In my mind.
That makes perfect sense.
There's no book on that, I'm sure.
So basically, an empath is like a positive sociopath, more or less.
I don't know. Like, I don't think I like where this is going.
So, Sarah in a bad mood is a sociopath.
Right.
Well, I can see how those two definitely kind of run parallel with each other. Moving on to our next question. Sarah, what do you have for us?
Okay. Believing in yourself, obviously, is going to build self-confidence. So if you don't respect yourself, let's look at it this side of the story. If you don't respect for yourself, how can you expect others to respect you? So if someone's having trouble getting respect from others, should they look into how they look at themselves rather than looking at people who are being a problem for them in their daily lives?
Yes.
Simply put, yes.
I should have put
okay,
that in
Sarah,
a better
thank you.
Open-ended question.
It's okay.
Question number three, please.
My bad. I worded that wrong.
So, okay, if they're having trouble getting respect from others, it's probably because possibly they're trying to make others believe that they have too much self-esteem, but they have no self-esteem. And that's why they're trying to be all on top of everything, which makes you a very negative person to be around.
Right.
I've been around those people, the overly cocky, who deep down have zero self-esteem.
Right.
Well, most of them. And that's why they're overly cocky, because they have to adjust. They think they're just adjusting the wrong variable.
Right.
So I think the main thing, if you have no respect from others, you need to start being giving, basically. Not like give them money and possessions and all that crap.
Right.
But you need to start being giving of yourself, of your time, to help others. You need to start having more empathic qualities, like we were talking about.
See, that's a very thin line you walk, because if you are too giving, there's many, many people out there who are giving to a fault and get no respect from people just because people just walk all over them. But those people are giving because
they don't... Are you happiest when you're getting or giving?
depends on what we're talking about. Lewis.
Okay, we're not talking about all that.
I think what Lewis is getting at is, why do you give? Do you give to make other people happy, or do you give because that makes you happy?
That's the thing is, you really do get something out of it. But when somebody gives to the point that they're being taken advantage of and they are no longer getting respect, maybe they need to look at that as well. Maybe they give because they get something from it and they're not really taking that into consideration.
There's no such thing as altruism. But we'll go into that some other time. So what I'm trying to say about that is, of course, we're getting something from giving. It's proven that the more we give of ourselves to others, the better we feel, the better it increases our self-esteem. So if it's not altruistic, we are gaining something from it.
Right. Yes.
But if our self-esteem increases because we have done for others, not necessarily give, but have done things for others,
mm-hmm. right.
helped them out, done the right thing, that's better than getting gifts. I enjoy giving gifts, for instance, more than I do getting them. Although everyone likes to get gifts too, but it just sits on a shelf somewhere, you know?
Right.
So it feels good, and then you feel good inside, and that helps build your self-esteem. That self-esteem being built will turn around and give people a better perception of you. So it is. It's a circle. It's a circle.
Yeah, if you're finding trouble with confidence and you're having trouble with your self-worth, if you really find yourself depressed a lot, basically what Lewis is saying is get out and help somebody else. You'll be strangely surprised at how much that will actually build your self-esteem, and especially our listeners, because you have a disability and because you feel like you can't contribute to other people. Maybe you need to find ways that you can, and you'll find yourself feeling more useful as a person, and you'll find that your life is enhanced 1,000 times more by giving yourself to others than by trying to figure out what is wrong with you.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah, concentrating on yourself, that this is the weird inverse that I've found. Concentrating on you and analyzing everything about yourself will do the exact opposite for your self-esteem that you want. It will actually drive it into the ground.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you can get really hard on yourself very easily. And concentrating on others and giving to others will shoot your self-esteem through the roof. And it doesn't
exactly.
make sense when you think about it logically, but it really does work.
Well, and it says, Lewis was saying, there really is no such thing as being selfless. Nobody has the ability to be selfless because you always get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Oh, and that's how we're made biologically. Chemically, we're always going to get something out of it. It's really hard to have the true definition of altruism.
Well, and I think that speaks to our psyche as a whole. You never do something you don't want to do, ever.
Well, obviously
you get something out of it. People who get angry, they're addicted to being angry. They're addicted to the feeling they get, the high they get off of it. Nobody ever truly does something they just flat out do not want to do. You always do something, and somewhere, if you look hard enough, you can see what you're getting from it.
Yep, most definitely.
Part of evolution.
Which actually would be a great subject for our next show. I think that there is a lot to talk about on that subject.
Yeah, we should continue this.
Yes, doing something for nothing and the fact that it's actually impossible to do something that you don't get something out of.
There's no such thing as a selfless act.
Boom, son, you just got psyched.
With Lewis Busby.
With Lewis Busby. He's always... Lewis, you say not the most amount of things on this show, but me, it's almost like each thing I say is more useless than the next. Why, you actually make your words count sometimes.
I think that's because I have a great team.
Aww, look at that.
So sweet.
Yeah, we would say that was selfless, but as we just discussed, you got something from that, you bastard. We'll see you next time, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. That's all the time we have for this edition of Eyes on Psych. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we look forward to next time.